This is the Seahawkers podcast, all 32 picks and IPAs, and we're going into week 7 of the NFL season. We're going to recap some of the week 6 action and talk about the beer we're drinking this week and go over just who won, who's in the lead among our couple hundred people in our Pick'em League. This is I'm excited to see just how many people are participating in our Pick'em League, guys. And introducing around the horn the guys joining me each week as we run down our picks, and starting with my good buddy Adam Emmert.
Still beating both you guys in the picks, just so you know. That's all I got.
Why don't we go with I guess we'll introduce Broncos fan Jared Tim.
You have to introduce me, and I think
I'm sure you'll have something stupid to say.
We really wanted to keep you out of this show.
All I'm saying is you should start introducing us by our record on how we pick the Seahawks, because I am the only one who is undefeated in my picks with the Seahawks. So this is a Seahawks podcast, and somehow the Broncos fan is the only one who knows what the hell's going on with your team.
You're very close to being banned from the show permanently.
Well, Adam did open up the hate hotline last week.
Yeah. So send your hate mail once again to gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com. Subject: Jared Tim's an catfish.
But I mean, in my defense, don't hate me, everybody, because I'm right about your team.
No, hate him just for all the other reasons, too.
Yeah, there's plenty of other reasons.
Brandon. Yeah.
What are we drinking this week, guys?
Jared brought over the Sam Adams Downtime Pilsner. And man, I'm down anytime to drink this Pilsner.
This is a really good beer. I like Sam Adams because they're as big as a brewing company can get without selling out.
Yeah.
And it's available to everybody who's going to listen to this. So when I get a beer, I like one that everybody could at least sometime try.
Mm-hmm. Samuel Adams, brewer, patriot.
It's a good beer, though.
Yeah. All right. What do you say we start, we get into some of these picks here? Because this is, let's talk about last week just a little bit first.
Yes, can we please? Last week was a great week in football.
No, I'm talking about just the picks. Wow, brutal. It was difficult. That was my worst week of the year, easily.
The interesting thing is that we had some people that did really well. I'm looking at the first page of winners here, and at least 15 people got the 50-point bonus. And
wow.
Let's see, 17 people.
100.
17 people.
That's a low percentage.
I don't know. That's pretty good, though.
What kind of insider stuff are those 15 people doing?
I don't know.
What are they attached to, and who are they paying? What mafia are they paying?
I'm very sure one of them has a DeLorean. That's all I'm saying.
I think Bald Eagles and Beer might be Scott Bakula making the quantum leap.
Yep, absolutely. So, Brandon, what was the name again of that person who won this week? Because they had a great username.
Yeah, well, there were two people at the top of the league. You had Missing Bam Bam and Bald Eagles and Beer with 160 points.
That's a great name.
Nice.
You guys are just, the creativity just, it kills
me
every
week. Are you
still
Missing Bam Bam?
No, he's there.
Is he?
He just screwed up the chemistry by not being there all through training
camp. Does he just forget plays?
It wasn't him this time.
The thing about Bald Eagles and Beer, guys, that might be the most patriotic username in the entire group.
In the entire world.
Yeah.
What's more American than those things?
I don't know.
I challenge you
Bald
to come
Eagles,
up with something.
Beers and bikinis. Like, I'd like another thing in. All right. So, speaking of Missing Bam Bam and having some problems, our first game of the week is the Thursday night game. The Seattle Seahawks go on the road to Santa Clara to face the fellow 2-4 team, the San Francisco 49ers. Jared doesn't get to pick this game. Brandon, what do you think?
I know we've been delaying this because we don't want to hear what Jared has to say with this game. So yeah. we have the 2-4 Seahawks against the 2-4 San Francisco 49ers. And who would have thought after 6 weeks that the Seahawks and 49ers would share the same record in the same spot in the NFC West?
I did.
Sharing the very bottom spot. It's painful. It's painful to see. And as I mentioned on the podcast, this is either going to be the best week or the very worst week. And because I'm an optimist, I'm going with it's going to be a great, great week. And the Seahawks picking up the win over the 49ers, going along with 81% of the user consensus, 19% with the 49ers.
Wow. This is a really hard game to pick from.
Come on, Jared.
I mean, no, it's not.
You got two teams in the NFC West with the most losses in the division. This is basically a rubber match to see who's worse. But in the end of the day, the 49ers haven't really played you guys very well in a while. And maybe you might show signs of life in a fourth quarter. I don't know if that's actually going to happen because you guys are being outscored some 76 to 27 or something like that in the fourth quarter since the Super Bowl. So I'm going to narrowly go with the Seahawks.
Good. About time. All right. Well, here's the thing. Out of all the 2-4 teams, the Seahawks are clearly the best one. I mean,
clearly, huh?
Yeah, clearly. And I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. Number one, when it just comes to defense, fourth in the league in just yards per game, 11th in points per game. And on offense, they're still second in the league rushing the ball. So the Seahawks actually still do a few things well. Unfortunately, 49ers do nothing well. They're, you know, 31st in the league when it comes to the defense. They're 25th in points per game. They're dead last in scoring points per game at 16.7. Thing with Colin Kaepernick is he's played a little better recently, but there's two Colin Kaepernicks. One Colin Kaepernick is the one when you get pressure on him and he's a dumpster fire. The other is the Colin Kaepernick when he gets to stand in the pocket and he can do a few things. Like he can be league average. Seattle pass rush has been pretty decent. They'll chase Kaepernick around a little bit. Seattle's going to win this game. And if you don't believe me, Vegas has Seattle by 6 points in this game.
You know, you said they're the best 2-4 team out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're proud.
I'm not proud. Just a true fact.
Just being realistic.
All those defensive statistics.
It's just a true fact.
And everything. I wonder, what are your guys' defensive statistics in the fourth quarter? You say all those stats like you're still one of the best teams, yet in the fourth quarter, your play does not represent any of those stats whatsoever.
Right. In one quarter of each game, they've played
the most
poorly.
Important
but they've
one.
Played well in three quarters of each game as well. So mm-hmm. that doesn't that, what that tells me, Jared,
is that
is
you're
that,
2-4.
Is that the team is good. Like you can't all these guys can't be good for three quarters and then terrible for one quarter and be terrible. Like if you're good for the majority of the time, that's gotta show through at some point.
Spoken like a fan with a losing record.
Man,
I'm just
there are days.
Move on.
There's days, man. There are days. All right. Thank God we're moving on. Buffalo versus Jacksonville.
We got that out of the way. We can finally put all that behind us, right?
All right, Jared. Talk about Buffalo and Jacksonville now. They're on a different continent. Maybe you have some creative to say about them.
I'm going to go Bills because every time I pick the Jaguars, they let me down. And I want them to be that better team because I actually do believe in their talent. I just think they're too young to be winning games against these league average teams. And do we know who's playing quarterback for the Bills across the pond?
Manuel.
Damn it. Still going Bills.
Brandon?
I still have to go Bills here, too, even though the Jaguars screwed me by losing to the Texans last week. I had put my faith into the Jaguars that they would have two wins at this point in the season, and they go and lose to the Texans at the moment that I jump ship from that team. Disappointing to me, and in spite I'm and along with a good 90% of the user consensus going with the Bills.
Is that funny to anybody else that you jump ship off Houston and then they screw you?
It is for me.
It's not surprising. It's not surprising.
No, they do not. They're not good for you, Brandon. That's like that girlfriend that you really like, but she's just bad for you. Even when she's out of your life, she's still bad for you. All right, so Blake Bortles basically killed my picks last week. I mean, man, the only person that throws more bonehead pick sixes than Blake Bortles is Peyton Manning. And
this is true. Yeah. This is actually true.
Yeah. So I'm going with Buffalo, even though, I mean, EJ Manuel ran the offense fairly well. That defense is still just better than Jacksonville, but who knows if they'll penalty themselves to death in frickin' London, but I guess I got to go Bills.
So I got a question for you guys about this Bills team. So you now have two players on that defense that are starting to question Rex Ryan's calls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is going to be a detriment to their team because their defense is really what's holding the team together? Or do you think they'll just kind of skim right over this because this is what a Rex Ryan team does?
Depends on if you're winning. Because that really is it.
Yeah.
If they're winning, they're going to be fine with Rex. If they start losing, you're going to see Mario Williams complaining about being in coverage.
And if they lose to Jacksonville, look the heck out for that Bills team because
yeah,
they're going to be ready to implode.
Sure enough.
I kind of feel the same way.
Okay. Well, that brings us to a NFC North matchup. Brandon, Teddy takes on the second worst chucker in all of the league in Matthew Stafford in the Detroit Lions. Man, before we get to this game, though, did you guys at all watch the end of that Chicago-Detroit game?
No.
The ballless bowl? My God, those two coaches in the clock management.
It is John Fox.
And Jim Caldwell. It was inexplicable. These guys tried so hard to purposely not win that game. It had to end in a tie. I was mad it didn't end in a tie, Brandon.
It did seem like it was trending toward a tie. And I guess, and I had picked the Bears, but it didn't surprise me that Detroit pulled that out.
God, both those guys had multiple opportunities to just win the game, and they just went into a shell. It was unbelievably disappointing. But to this game, Brandon, who you got?
Well, here's the thing about this game, and there's some, this is my upset special, because one thing that we've seen is that when division rivals get together, some strange things happen. And while I think the Vikings are the better team, I think this is one of the weeks that Detroit, you know, coming off the win against the Bears, going up against another division opponent, I think they get it done against the Vikings at home. And part of me says that because I don't like picking a bunch of away games, and that's what I'm going to be doing. So the Lions, my upset of the week, user consensus 34%. So yeah, there's a third of us that are going with the home team.
It's lonely out there.
Brandon, I hate that you picked the Lions in this game, because I was really thinking about picking the Lions in this game. I picked them last week because I thought they were going to play their divisional opponent very tough. And neither team played tough, but they played slightly tougher. I actually was really leaning towards the Lions. Since you picked them, I'm going to go with the Vikings. And because it is more logical to go with the Vikings. They're more of a well-rounded team. I think Teddy's been pretty steady. You know, he's not so far up and down that you don't know what you're going to get. I think he plays fairly consistently. And that's why I think the Vikings as a whole are definitely a better team than the 1-5 Detroit Lions. Even though the Lions are at home, I'm picking the Vikings because Brandon picked the Lions.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going Minnesota as well. And apparently my picks are road heavy this week. Which is a bit concerning in some ways, but I really do. Just like you said, with Teddy being consistent, the anti-consistent is Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think the Lions, they just need to start chucking it up more to Calvin Johnson.
Which is how they got into the game in the end.
Either that, or just start throwing interceptions to Golden Tate, which end up being touchdowns. That still perplexes me. I have no idea how that ended up being a touchdown last week. The catch rule must still be fuzzy to me, but hey, look, whenever it's an interception, Golden Tate says it's a touchdown. The Lions beat the Bears last week, but that's only because Chuckler was worse than Stafford. And that's the bottom line. Teddy's more steady. And
Steady Teddy.
And AP is going to run all over this defense, which is no name. Minnesota all the way.
I'm kind of looking forward to when the Vikings play the Packers, just to see where the Vikings are at.
It'll be interesting. I want to root against Minnesota because they're one of the teams that we're looking up at in the wild card race.
You guys are looking up at everybody at this
point. That is not true. All right. We're looking up at three teams in the wild card race, big guy.
Which means you're not it.
That's not what that means is that's not everybody. Okay. All right. Moving on. Atlanta Falcons versus the Tennessee Titans. Man, Tennessee laid an egg for me last week, Jared. I mean, once their starting center went down, it was open season on Mariota, and they tried to take him out at the knees. It was a brutal game.
They did take him out at the Tennessee knees, just, as it turned out.
Yeah, literally.
Jared, who you got?
Well, so Mariota's not going to be playing. He's got a sprained MCL, correct? Or is he going to play?
I thought he was going to play, but I could be wrong.
I think he's out. I think he's out for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even if he's going to play,
wow,
still not sold on this team. I mean, I don't know what there is to be sold on. I still don't think they have a lot of talent. And I'm not surprised that they're 1-4 by any stretch. And the Falcons are going to win this game. It's not going to be a close game.
There is not a game on the schedule that is more lopsided toward one side. And that's the Falcons side at 95%. I think with Mariota going down and the Titans just not being very good, that has a lot to do with it. And I'm going with the Falcons.
You know, Atlanta really laid an egg against New Orleans this last week. And it wasn't that New Orleans played well. It's that Atlanta just was beating themselves. They turned the ball over a lot
in the first half. But in the second half, you got to give New Orleans some credit. They played hard and they played well in the second half.
They played hard. Yeah, I'll definitely give them that. But really what the deciding factor in the game was Atlanta and its turnovers. I think they cleaned it up this week. I'm going Atlanta on the road. All right, so speaking of those Saints, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints go on the road, and they take on Andrew Luck, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
So any more trick plays out of Chuck Pagano this week?
That had to be, I didn't see that play live, but I saw tweeting it out on Twitter, and I could not believe what I was seeing on that play. It didn't look real to me, and I'm still not sure that it actually happened. I feel like it's a prank that is getting pulled over the entire world. That play didn't happen because there's no way that any coach decides or any player decides to actually snap a ball in that situation and think that it's a good idea, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, line up, have three dudes over top of you and be like, yeah, I'll take them all on. It'll be fine. And I'm a wide receiver.
Waylon never even practiced this trick play in practice. He'd never even been a part of it. They threw him out there and then they lined up this way. And so he's all of a sudden under center. And they were supposed to not snap the ball, and he just snapped it anyways.
That's hilarious. And the guy, Colt Anderson. I was going to say, the guy they snapped the ball to Grizz alumni Colt Anderson. I thought that was pretty funny. Brandon, who do you got here in this game, though?
Well, this is going to be an interesting game. It's going to come down to turnovers, and the Saints able to take the ball to cause some turnovers against the Falcons. That was the reason why they won that game. And the Colts have been prone to giving up the interceptions in their three losses so far this year. I have a tough time going with the Saints on the road. You know, we saw the Colts play the Patriots pretty close at home. As long as they stay focused and against a team that they should beat, I'm going with the 79% of users and the Indianapolis Colts at home.
Wow. That's quite lopsided. I thought it was going to be closer than that. You know, I did see this game live, and when I saw that trick play, Brandon, like you said, you're almost looking at it like, is this really happening? I had the same feeling when Russell Wilson threw that pick in the end of the Super Bowl. This was the same exact thing. I didn't know if
it
was actually
happening. How many shots this week? How many?
They do bonehead things. Andrew Luck played okay, but man, I saw this game in its entirety, and he missed a lot of throws. He missed high. He missed short. Most of them were high. That's dangerous. That's going to lead to a lot of picks, which leads me to believe that that's what he's been doing all year long. And I saw the Saints play a really good second half of football. And I think that they might be able to carry that over. You know, Adam and I have talked about how Aaron Rodgers kind of makes receivers better. I think Drew Brees does the same thing. I mean, he's getting the same amount of production out of 34-year-old Benjamin Watson as he did Jimmy Graham. So who's a better player? I don't think we really know. So I'm going Saints.
So I've picked four road teams in a row. So I'm going to have to go with the Colts, because that's honestly the only thing when I looked at this. This week is unbelievably difficult. These teams are almost mirror images to me in the way that quarterback driven defenses are so-so, and they're up and down. And I get the home team, Indy. But you made a lot of good points, Jared, about Andrew Luck. Kind of spraying the ball around a little bit.
All over the place.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Saints won this game. It wouldn't surprise
me. That's just it.
This was a hard one to pick, to be honest. I'm surprised it was lopsided like it was.
I don't have a very strong conviction about this game at all. Speaking of strong convictions, in not having one, that's exactly how I feel about this next game as well. Tampa Bay goes on the road to take on Washington. We saw Washington kind of unravel a little bit last week, and man, Jay Gruden, the Kirk Cousins apologist, comes out. Well, it was a little windy, and you know, he had some hard reads. And like, man, when Griffin did stuff like that, he threw him under the bus as fast as possible. Boom, boom, boom.
They never liked him from the get go.
Hit him with both axles, man. I don't know. I'm taking Tampa in this game just because I think they've got a little more talent. Although I like the Redskins defense better. Again, no strong conviction here, but I'm taking Tampa. Jared, how do you feel?
I feel like I'm not going to watch this game.
All right.
And I'm not going to spend any time on it. I think the Redskins are the home team, a slightly better defense. Go Skins.
Yeah, Washington definitely the reason why I'm going with them this week and their defense. This is where two-thirds of the users going with Washington to a third of the Buccaneers. So, again, it's not a clear consensus on this one. A lot of people picking a potential home upset for the Bucs, but I'm going with Washington.
I think Washington has a lot of injuries, if I remember correctly. Now, I can't remember. I think that corner and a couple other key positions on defense.
Steven Paella, their defensive end, questionable. Matt Jones, running back, questionable toe. So, and then Pierre Garçon's only probable. Not a whole lot of injuries.
Good luck with that game, everybody. moving on to the Landry Jones-led Pittsburgh Steelers. Thanks a lot for giving us Seahawks fans at least one glimmer of hope with Pittsburgh taking down the Cardinals. Taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, Brandon. What do you think about the Boomer Sooner quarterback? Is he bringing you home this week?
Landry Jones, I think he's actually, thinking back, well, I mean, I guess Bradford got a win this weekend, but he, of the guys who aren't Sam Bradford, the Oklahoma hasn't had a whole lot of luck with their quarterbacks, and so it was good to see Landry Jones out there slinging it around, and so for that reason, I have to be a little bit of a Pittsburgh fan right now. And yeah, the Chiefs, as long as they continue to not even attempt to throw downfield with any kind of consistency, even though it's at Arrowhead, I'm going with the Steelers.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm with you. I think Landry Jones actually gives them a spark of youth on that team. You know, when they got an aging defense, they had a veteran quarterback who went down. I think a little youth on this team helped quite a bit, and getting rid of Mike Vick was the best thing that they could have done, even though he kind of went down with an injury, which I still believe he just didn't want to play anymore.
It kind of looked that way.
I'm going Pittsburgh just because I don't think they have a lot of talent left on that defense. They're not bad. What they do have is chemistry, and chemistry on defense will get you a long ways. And Pittsburgh has been good at building chemistry on defense for years, and playing the Chiefs, who Brandon listed all the reasons that they're just not very good. I mean, if you got Alex Smith, the guy who can, he actually has a decent arm. You have to go downfield. There's no excuse. It's not like you have Peyton Manning. You have to throw downfield. So I'm going Pittsburgh.
You know, it's hilarious because Alex Smith's arm is not good, but in comparison to Peyton Manning,
it's
I can
better.
See why you're like, you know, he's got a decent arm.
I have a decent arm right now.
I know you do. Look, I saw Kansas City play Minnesota, who I think is a mediocre team, pretty solidly. And I think Pittsburgh is another mediocre team. I don't like the idea of a rookie quarterback in Arrowhead. That just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Nobody's cheering in Arrowhead anymore, though.
They never stop cheering in Arrowhead. Their team's
true.
Always stinking. They're always loud there.
Yeah,
it doesn't
good
matter.
Fans. They have good fans.
They do. They have good fans. And I did see Alex Smith complete a couple deep balls in that Minnesota game, believe it or not. I think Kansas City's putting it together a little bit. I'm taking Kansas City at home.
Bold choice.
Adam with 16% of users going with the home team Chiefs.
Yeah. I remember picking the Rams to beat the Cardinals when the stats were very similar to that. So, and I was right. So, Houston Texans, Brandon's Texans against the resurgent Miami Dolphins.
I told you guys. Last week, I told you guys.
You did. So, what do you get?
I think I told us guys, too.
So, what's Dan Campbell going to do next, guys? Are they all going to bathe in, like, the blood of their next victims? Are they going to, like, are they going to have, like, jousts to the death? Like, this guy's kind of intense, this Dan Campbell.
That's what they need.
The intensity will last for a little while, and that's why I'm going with the Dolphins again. I think the intensity continues for at least one more week until they come up against an opponent who's clearly better. I'm going to go with this head coaching change making a difference and the Dolphins continuing. They'll get back to 500, back to 3-3, and along with 70% of users, going with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, this intensity, you could see it on the sidelines. They were happy to play for this coach. They really enjoyed playing for this guy, and they were fired up. And last week, when it was up to the players, you know, they were the ones who were challenged to actually have to play and try to win this game. And they did it. And Brandon, I think I'm with, I don't know how long this intensity is going to last, but they have this young team. They have a pretty talented team. And, you know, it could last several weeks. Who knows? But I mean, it'll definitely last through the Houston Texans. So I'm going Miami.
Yeah, just Miami.
As much as it pains you to say it, Adam.
It feels dirty. It feels dirty. All right, one more game, and then we'll talk about the beer here. Again, another who the heck are these teams game. Cleveland at St. Louis. Jared, we saw the Cleveland Browns last week take the Broncos to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Showed a little fight, showed a little moxie.
Oh, yeah.
Even without their starting corners, kept Peyton Manning being a turnover machine throughout the game. Who you got this week? Did you get a little more respect for the Browns after that? Or?
No, I didn't, actually. You know, our defense, as many possessions as we gave their offense, we still held them in check for the most of the game. I mean, McCown had three straight 300-yard games, and he looked really pedestrian against his Denver defense. And our only problem was we still couldn't move the ball against them, even though they don't even have one starting corner in the game. But I don't think that this Browns team can actually compete with a good defense. I think that's their Achilles heel, is going against a good defense. And the Rams have just that. And I think the Rams at home are going to win this just based on defense alone.
That's it. That's interesting, Jared. This is one of those games where we've seen the Rams go up against good teams and win. And then you see them go up against bad teams and lose. And that's why I think the Browns are good enough to beat the Rams, and that's why I hate the Rams. And so I'm going with 23% of users, a pretty low number, but still almost a quarter. Browns 2-4 over the St. Louis Rams, because they need to lose.
Well, I would love it if the Rams lost, but as much as I'd like to give Cleveland credit last week, I mean, really, Peyton Manning was that awful. I mean, that was really the only thing that kept him in that game. I mean, it really was. He was gifting him as much of that game as he possibly could.
We gave him possession after possession after possession.
It was kind of a dumpster fire. And, you know, I talked last week about Cleveland being one of the worst teams in the league as far as protecting the quarterback. And St. Louis, again, another fierce pass rush. I'm taking St. Louis in the dome with the Rams rules. I think it's going to be a big day.
Well, you know, you hit it on the head. I mean, we saw what McCown did. He made some really bad mistakes when he got some pressure. He was scared out there, especially after he took a couple hits. And I think the St. Louis Rams are going to do the exact same thing to him. They're going to scare him early on in the game. They're going to force him into some turnovers. And I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Yeah, St. Louis at home.
Well, you guys can slow clap it out if you get your pick right.
Okay.
It's weird because Brandon, you're usually on the video over there in the stool, and every time I look over to see in the video, it's just his smiling face just looking right at me.
With a Coke. He's got a Coke and a smile in his picture, his little profile picture looking at us. It's hilarious. And he doesn't even like Coke. He's a Pepsi guy.
It's the irony of the photo.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. And he looks so happy.
Oh, so just blissfully
and
happy.
Thin. You're looking good, dude.
Thanks.
All right,
thanks,
man.
I need that to show off that face to you guys this week, because probably on the inside, not what I'm looking like.
You're dying.
No, we're all
like
hurting
the rest
a bit
of Hawks country.
Well, let's talk about beer, because that's what we needed to get through this last Sunday, us Hawks fans. Like I said, Jared brought this over, the Sam Adams Downtown Pilsner. I've been
downtime.
Oh, downtime.
Even better.
No, even better. Jared, they have a nice little description at the top of the bottle that you have to rotate. Maybe you might want to give that a try in reading it, because I do believe it's your
job.
It's your turn.
Okay, let's test my reading ability. This is hard to see up here, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, gets hard.
Sam Adams Downtime Pilsner. The fun of brewing is building on tradition. We brewed with new hops grown in the old hop gardens of Bavaria to showcase both the floral and spicy noble hops and the fruity and citrusy character of new varieties in this elegant and surprising golden pilsner. Cheers.
You're a golden pilsner.
I'm going to have to bump that up to double speed just so Jared sounds like he's talking normally.
That would be great.
Yes. Yes. That's hilarious.
A highly enjoyable beer. 5% alcohol.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just a nice the crispness of it is really what gets you. And the citrusy end of it. Like
very light.
Yeah.
Very light, which I like, because I don't like anything too citrusy or sugary anything.
But it's good. It's there. In enough hops to keep you entertained, but not like IPA hoppy by
any
stretch of
imagination.
It's
not going to put you to bed right away.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I can drink two of these and still make picks. So,
poorly. Yeah. But
highly. I'm still winning. Still winning.
For now.
Still. All right. Moving
Brandon,
on.
Brandon, you're missing out on this beer.
You are, man.
I might go get one after we're finished.
You should.
Okay.
Hey, how about we get into some of the overall group leaderboard? Because I did announce the top two winners, Missing Bam Bam and Bald Eagles and Beer. So if they email us at gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com, we'll get prizes out to them. Also, we have, you know, our patron only Pick'em League, and people only have, just over a week left to join us at patreon.com/Seahawkers podcast and chip in $3. And we all we have right now are, well, once Adam joins, we'll have 16 members of our patron only Pick'em League, and you'll get access to that right away once you sign up. And although we're not doing prizes until October, I do want to call out McFish and Noodle556 for being the top two teams with 140 points in the patron only Pick'em League. So if you think you can do better than those guys, you might want to join us. And overall leader in that with, let's see, 780 points. The Blue Wave is on a roll, and getting back to the overall leaders of the full Pick'em League, Bald Eagles and Beer with that solid week, 840 points, clearly on top by 60 points over Mr. Poopotamus and Keegan Kellogg, along with Natha. And Blue Wave is on a roll, and T.O. and 16, all those guys at 780. But Bald Eagles and Beer clearly in the lead.
I think there's something in a name. I think a good name brings you good luck. It's got to be. There's some good ones out there.
Mr. Poopotamus is solid.
Yeah. It's just great. Just great. You guys entertain me tonight.
If I would have known that they were going to be this creative, I would have definitely tried to come up with something different. I didn't know that this was going to be such a creative thing and people were going to be hilarious.
You can change it at any time. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You just go in, log in, and where it says my entry on the page, mm-hmm. just click on the gear and you can put in your entry name right there.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So, everybody looking for your picks to know what games to stay away from. It might no longer be GM Tim at the end of this. So. All right. The next game on the slate, I want to leave till last because it before the Monday night game, just because I think it's the most interesting game on the docket. So let's move on to Oakland and San Diego. Again, though, another interesting game with two teams where I saw San Diego play Green Bay tough last week, Brandon. I mean, or are you going with the mascara or are you going with Philip Rivers? What do you got here?
I don't know what to think about these two teams. The Chargers, if there's anybody giving the Seahawks a run for best 2-4 team, it would have to be the Chargers, right? I guess I don't see anybody else that would contend for that title. It's not a great title that I want to be a part of. 79%, surprisingly. I thought this would be a lot closer, a lot more people going for the Raiders. But yeah, me going with the Chargers.
You know, when we're talking about the best 2-4 teams, the Chargers played the Packers equally, if not more tough than you guys did.
We actually
I just think that the Raiders are a more consistent team. Yeah, they're 2-3, but they're coming off of a bye week. And I think they've, with 2 weeks to prepare, I think the Packers kind of laid an egg in their pass defense. I don't think they're this good. Keenan Allen is most likely going to be out. You know, he sat down on the bench and he had no interest in coming back in the game. He looked like he was hurting. So I'm going Raiders just because this was actually the year that I picked them to surpass the Chargers in the division. And so I still think that that's going to happen. I think this is going to be a close game, but I'm going Oakland on the road. I'm going mascara all the way.
Interesting. You kind of plucked the words right out of my mouth. Going last on these picks sometimes sucks because Oakland is by far the more consistent team. And I think that's what I'm going to hang my hat on here. I am a little disappointed. Justin Tuck is out now with the torn pec. I think that hurts him a little bit on the defensive line. I still think he's a productive player at the end of his career. But, yeah, San Diego, yeah, they played good last week. So they'll probably play bad this week.
Yeah.
And also, I bet you there will be – this is the battle between the two teams that are trying to move to L.A. They may share a stadium next year. It may sound like that in this game because the Raiders fan could take over.
Well, it's
going
to be a Raiders home game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going Oakland.
Well, and San Diego feels a lot like the New York Giants team. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to get out of quarterback play. I mean, these are two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, but you never know what they're going to do week to week. And so I'm just going Raiders consistency.
Oh, I forgot about that point, you guys. I forgot about the point that this is not going to necessarily be a home game for the Chargers. You've swayed me over to the Raiders. I'm changing my pick.
Oh, listen to us. Now I really want the Raiders to lose just because.
Yeah. All right.
I really like you, Brandon. You're a good friend.
Speaking of that Giants team that nobody can seem to put their finger on, they are at home against the Dallas Cowboys. So Jerry Jones going to have Matt Cassel start this game because he wants somebody that takes more shots. And yeah. I don't know what helps an offense more than having Matt Cassel push the ball down the field. He makes great decisions.
I'm surprised he's going with Matt Cassel over the dude who throws the best ball he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out. So Matt Cassel must just be incredible. You know, which really made me want to go with the Cowboys. Unfortunately, the Giants are at home, so I'm going with them.
What do you think, Brandon?
This is a coin flip game, guys. I have no idea what to think about the Giants. Just when you think that they're actually going to take control of the division, they go and lose to a division rival. They could be back down in third place after this week, but I'm going to stick with them for now and over the Cowboys because they are at home, 71% with the Giants, 29% with the Cowboys and Matt Cassel. Gotta go with Eli and the Giants.
That whole Jerry Jones thing was hilarious to me because they're like, well, you know, what about Wheaton? You said that you liked the way that he was going to, you know, play ball control and do all that. And he threw the best ball in the league. He's like, well, yeah, that all sounded good. And then we didn't win. So now we want to win. So I'm going to bring in Matt Cassel. This man, sometimes he just needs to stay away from football operations.
He needs to get out of his own way.
Because Brandon Whedon's not the problem. Brandon Whedon has not been the problem for the Dallas Cowboys as they try to survive the Romo injury. The problem is their secondary is terrible. And I think Eli Manning's going to have them for lunch. So I like the Giants at home in this
game. Well, that in the NFC East is basically a battle of who wants this division less.
Yeah.
I mean, when is Tony Romo coming back? Do we know this yet?
It won't be until after the Seahawks game. I know that.
I mean, if they stay within a few games of whoever wants to try to lead that NFC East, I think the Cowboys still have a shot with Tony
Romo. They could pull it out in December. They could.
Absolutely. They're a sneaky team late this year.
And Dez Bryant will be back possibly this week, maybe next week. I think they're pulling Whedon at the wrong time because I think with Dez Bryant, Brandon Whedon could be functional. We've seen who Matt Cassel is over and over and over. And
yeah, he's a guy.
It doesn't work.
He's a guy who couldn't even start in college.
Yeah,
that's who he is.
It's just not going to work. Bad move.
Yeah.
Dez getting back to on-field conditioning work, but still at this point in the week saying he's unlikely to play on Sunday.
All right, moving on to the Sunday night game. Philadelphia, who kind of trounced the Redskins last week, despite Sam Bradford.
Or just wanted to lose less.
Yeah, I suppose that's what it is. Versus Carolina Panthers. All right, Jared, we'll get it out of the way.
To me, this is an easy one. That Eagles team is still not good. Bradford's still throwing picks all over the field. He's still not good. This Eagles team isn't good. And yeah, they're 3-3, but who have they really beat? And this Carolina Panthers team is legit. They also just fight for four quarters. They make mistakes. They bounce back. They're a veteran team. And with Luke Kuechly being back, he really ties that defense together. And after winning in Seattle, I'm going with Carolina. To me, this is a no-brainer game.
Brandon?
If they continue to play with that same tenacity that they showed on Sunday in Seattle, I can't pick against them, but I mean, a big part of me wants the Eagles to win. Only 18% going with the Eagles. I think the smart play is with the Panthers and 82% of the users.
So you asked who have the Eagles beaten. There's some teams that are terrible that you would expect, but they have beat the Jets, and Jets are a good team.
Oh, that's right, huh?
So that's interesting there, but here's the thing. I think if you asked me to cast my MVP vote right now for the league, I'm giving it to Cam Newton.
I'm giving it to Tom Brady.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Tom Brady has Gronk. He at least has one weapon.
I don't care who he's got. He doesn't need anybody. He's proven that year after year. They take all his receivers away year after year, and he still just lights it up.
Cam Newton is playing on another level right now. He is my MVP right now.
No, if I'm picking an MVP on Carolina, I'm picking Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, I mean, he
hasn't even played for he missed two games.
I don't care how many games he missed. He's the best player. He's the best player on that team.
You're just going Cam because he beat the Seahawks. Tom Brady is by far the MVP.
I'm going off
of
his body of work for the year. And if you want to take and make it a lifetime achievement award, then give it to the Genghis.
But no, I'm going to give it to him just for this season alone.
No way, man. I'm taking Cam Newton. He really is changing that entire team. Like, it really is all him, and that's it. I'm impressed. I really think
it's not all him. They got a good defense in Carolina. They got Luke Kuechly. I mean, I think they're good. I think their team is pretty good. I mean, they're obviously better than you guys, but I don't think Cam Newton is the MVP right now. Tom Brady is killing him in every stat there is, except for rushing.
Carolina eked out a game against us.
Uh-huh.
They're better than us right now.
At your house.
Sure. Right now.
Fact.
Well, here's the thing. I'm picking Carolina. All right. Baltimore versus Arizona. Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to spend any time on this. This Monday night game is going to Arizona. Unless they decide to lay down for a second straight week to an inferior team, which, I mean, I guess they've shown that they can do it twice this year already, but I don't see them doing it against the Ravens. Going with 93% of the users with the Cardinals.
This is a game I'll probably only watch if I'm sick.
The Ravens, one of the worst teams.
Laid up.
How the Ravens have 7% of people going with them on the road after showing what the Ravens have done so far this year?
Brandon, you got to figure there's two parents for every player. And so that's on the 53-man roster. That's 106 different people that have voted for the Ravens. I think would barely make 7%.
As Seahawks fans, you guys got to understand this. I mean, you guys have picked the Seahawks in 6 games, and you've been wrong on 4 of them. There are still Ravens fans out there that are picking their team to win these games because they still believe in them, even if it's just completely shallow and narrow-minded. Not going to happen.
7% still seems high.
Right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, because I think this might be the last week you're on the podcast. I'm seriously considering it. New York Jets on the road versus the Patriots in Genghis. Tom, I'm tired of hearing you talk, Jared. So, Brandon, what do you think?
Why do we have so many 11 o'clock games this week? We have the Bills Jaguars to start, so you have football when you wake up in the morning. And then you have like 10, 15, 20 games. I don't know how many it is. I don't want to do the math. But 11 o'clock games. This is the final. We're just now getting to the final 11 o'clock game. And now I know we kind of skipped over it, but there's only 2 games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For Montana time. I know I'm throwing everybody off by not going Eastern or Pacific, but
this is the
only
right time.
Only 2 afternoon games. That's crazy to me. Anyway, Genghis Tom and the Patriots going up against Darrell Revis with that defense. He switches teams back to New York Jets. Only 14% going with the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know why people just don't have the faith in the Fitz. I don't either. I'm going with Genghis Tom and the Patriots, 86%.
I am too, because they have Darrell Revis. They have a pretty solid defense, the Jets do. However, they have no answer for Gronk and Julian Edelman. Nobody this year has had an answer for Julian Edelman. He is tearing this league apart with Tom Brady. They're not going to be able to cover him. And the Patriots, you know, when I watched the games last week, I realized something, that there is really no complete team in the NFL. You saw the Packers defense give up over 400 yards to Phillip Rivers. And this Patriots defense, they were giving up a decent amount on the ground, and then there was a whole fiasco of the trick play and everything. But I didn't see their defense play all that well. I think it's just going to be a matter of a Genghis Tom just taking control of this game. I think it might be close for about 3.5 quarters, and then it's going to blow wide open. Patriots are going to win this game.
I've seen a New York team take down an undefeated Genghis Tom team with a very simple formula, and that was get a ton of pressure on Tom Brady. Because you said nobody can solve the Julian Edelman Gronkowski thing. Mm-hmm. They can solve the Julian Edelman thing. It's called Darrell Revis. But the Gronkowski thing, no. Nobody can solve the Gronkowski thing. But the only way that you can solve the Gronkowski problem is by keeping the ball out of his hands, by not even giving Tom Brady the opportunity to throw. This Jets defensive front is really, really good. And I think they're very much like that Giants defensive front years back. I think they're going to come at Genghis in just waves. And you can knock him off his spot early, and you can get a lot of pressure. It's going to be difficult for them. And then on top of that, the Patriots, like you said, there's not one complete team in the league. And their big Achilles heel is rush defense this year. And it just so happens that the number one rushing team in the league is the New York Football Jets. And I like Chris Ivory and his hard-running style. Going up against that defense, ball control offense, keep the ball out of Genghis's hands. When he does have it, come at him in waves with the league's number one defense. I like the Jets on the road to hand New England their first loss.
The Jets don't win in New England on the road, Adam. All of your points are very valid. You have valid points, and I can.
This is the dumbest thing you've ever said. All of your points are very valid.
I said this is the dumbest thing you said today.
Okay, and then the next phrase out of one of you two is you've made all sorts of valid points.
I don't agree with him.
You make valid points if this game is in New York.
Yeah, but it's not.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't matter.
You think Tom Brady at home doesn't matter?
Defense and a running
game.
That's
unbelievable.
You know what?
That
kind
is
of,
so dumb.
You know what kind of what kind of teams you can take on the road?
All right, hold on.
Great defense and a running game. You're
just not even making any football sense here. Look.
That
Tom
travels.
Brady, Tom Brady
defense
made,
and running games Tom travel.
Tom Brady made one emphasis to work on this offseason. His emphasis was moving in the pocket because he knew his offensive line was going to be questionable at best. And they showed a bunch of different clips of him and how he's moved to avoid pressure in all different directions. And he is moving with the ball in his hands in the pocket, moving outside of the pocket and throwing dimes. The pass rush is not a problem to him this year. He's taken very minimal hits. With that questionable offensive line, he's moving very well, making throws while he's moving. I mean, sure, it sounds good to say, hey, knock Tom Brady off his spot, get a pass rush. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Look, Nate Solder's out, their best offensive lineman. They just get back Sheldon Richardson on the defensive line. He's an absolute beast. You pair that with Wilkerson and all the rest of that defensive line. Man, I'm taking this pick all the way to the bank. I can't wait for the Jets.
Man, you're going to be broke. Completely flat broke. I mean,
still winning.
There are times to take
still
an upset
winning.
Pick.
Still
but
winning
this
in
is
the picks.
Ridiculous.
Still winning in the picks. Patriots are not going undefeated this year. They're going to lose a game.
Who said they were going undefeated?
I don't know. They're you guys seem to think game. That nobody can beat Genghis.
Not right now.
Not in Foxborough.
No, definitely not in Foxborough.
I've seen them lose games in Foxborough. It's not
going
to
happen.
Not
now.
To the Jets.
Whatever.
I don't think I've seen them lose to the Jets at home.
No, not a divisional opponent at home. Not with Gronk and Edelman. That's not going to happen.
I'm telling
and
you, man.
And LeGarrette Blount running the ball like he has.
We'll see how convinced Adam is when the moment of truth comes this weekend and Adam actually has to decide whether or not that's going to be his final pick or not.
I'm locked in on that unless we hear some major injury news between now and then.
I hope so, because I can't wait to pick up points on you for that dumb pick.
Adam's major injury news is going to be the backup offensive lineman for the Jets going down, and he's going to switch his pick over to the Patriots.
I'm not changing my picks if Breno goes down. No. No.
Is Eric Decker even back yet?
Yeah.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. And Brandon Marshall's going to have a big day against those mediocre corners.
You know, when I saw Brandon Marshall catch that touchdown pass, he looked like he was running with an elephant on his shoulders. He's not fast anymore.
I've seen a lot of Brandon Marshall this year. He looks good.
But he's just not fast anymore.
He's not running nine routes.
I'm so glad you picked the Jets.
I'm so glad that I could bury you guys even deeper in the picks, because I'm up huge on both you two jokers. So it'll be great. That'll be my 10th win on the day.
Not even close.
And that'll get me into the bonus. It's going to be great. All right. Well,
I'm stunned with the stupidity that has come from across the table.
Look, man, I've had to deal with your garbage all day. So
yeah,
I think it's time to wrap this up before I strangle Jared with his microphone cord.
Hey, I just saw this coming across on the Colts.com of the explanation of why the fake punt went wrong.
Oh.
Pretty interesting. Because I think to this point we hadn't heard really, because we've all questioned when we saw that play, what the heck were they even thinking in that moment? And apparently the original intent of the play is that they were subbing the special teams and bringing the offense back on the field. And so what they were trying to do was to get the Patriots defenders to sub off their special teams and get the defense back on field, and then snap the ball and have too many men on the field. And because you could kind of see, and I know the Colts are probably trying to backtrack a little bit, trying to show that they weren't complete nincompoops when it comes to this play. But you can see their offense lined up on the sideline as if they're ready to come into the game. Now, I think to do this, you actually have to get the rest of your special teams to look more as though that they're running off the field instead of lining up into formation, which is absolutely absurd to me. And then to use a guy that apparently the guy who was the center was injured, and to have a guy come in who really doesn't know the play, hadn't practiced the play, to come in and expect him to actually execute the play in something that he really hasn't practiced on, to expect that guy to come through, wide receiver Griff Whalen, and he's the one that blows it. So I still don't understand it, but I guess there's your explanation.
So what you're saying is they might have overthought it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It does make sense. The explanation makes sense as to what they were trying to do. It's unique, maybe slightly innovative on a trick special teams play, but to execute all those types of things and get those subs in. But to try to get the 12 men, I get it. It makes sense, but I think they're overthinking a trick play to try and get a first down.
If it took you 2 days to try to explain why you were doing it, you didn't understand what you were doing in the first place.
That's a good point.
It's ridiculous. But not to bum you guys out, but it looks like the Cubs lost. So
I didn't know the Back to the Future could be wrong.
I didn't either. Huh. I didn't either.
This is disappointing.
I still want a hoverboard.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys. Well, with that, let's wrap this beast up. I'm going to say hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray bear.
Hooray bear.
Go Broncos.
Way to end on a downer, Jared. Go Broncos nonsense.